All right. This morning, I want to, you know, in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about coming to the Romans and imparting some spiritual gift that they may be edified. And he talks about, you know, the mutual edification. And I love to see people. I don't like to be the person who comes in and just kind of ministers, but I love to impart and see other people move in things that maybe, again, that people feel like, well, you know, that's for that person or that person. But, you know, how many know that spiritual gifts are for everybody? Paul doesn't put a limitation and put a fence around it and say, well, you know, these are only for special people. Spiritual gifts, someone once said many years ago that spiritual gifts are the wrath of God on the works of the enemy. I love that. You know, that the Lord uses these gifts to bring judgment on the works of hell in people's lives. And so he encourages us to desire earnestly the best gifts. And I think sometimes we settle back for less than what we should. And it occurs to me that in the book of Acts, you know, people who were designated to serve, deacons, Stephen was one of them, Philip was one of them, but over a period of time, these guys became giants of, you know, they served with distinction, they served well, but beyond that, they moved out and beyond that began to see healings and signs and wonders and miracles and you know that didn't happen just because you know that God somehow kind of took over their life. It was a hunger within them. I think they saw the apostles moving in these things and they said, man, you know, let's believe God. Let's believe God. These things are open to all of us and let's begin to pray for the sick and begin to see things happen. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about and do some things with you this morning to kind of bring and I'm sure there's already people who are moving in words of knowledge and things like that, but I want to specifically zero in on words of knowledge for healing. Throughout my ministry, you know, ministering in the prophetic, there's been many times where I've had words of knowledge for people and seen healings and seen some dramatic stuff happen. But it was, you know, it was here and there from time to time. And when I started pastoring, you know, my heart just desired to see God do more in the church. And you know, I just cried out to the Lord for many years about healing. Lord, just release healing, release healing. And our church, I didn't feel was prepared or ready in a place yet to be equipped the way I would normally. When I was traveling in the 80s and 90s, I developed a local church prophetic seminar. And so it came out of a burden because as I was traveling, particularly in the East, I was doing a lot of prophetic ministry, you know, and I found that people had no grid. They didn't understand what to do with the prophetic. You give them a prophetic word, but they didn't know how to steward it. They didn't have a context. And there was a lot of churches who just had no clue. And so they kind of enjoyed the prophetic word, but they didn't know how to judge it. They didn't know how to steward it. They didn't know how to pray into it. So out of that burden, I kind of developed a prophetic seminar so that they could kind of also be introduced to fivefold concepts and things like that. And so when I began pastoring, I just kind of shelved that thing. And it wasn't until 2012, it was 12 years after I started pastoring, I thought, the time is right. Pulled it out, started offering it in our church. The moment we began to, and it was always teach and then have a workshop. Teach, workshop, every night, every week. And as soon as we began a workshop with this, people immediately began to get words of knowledge, and many of them for healing, and people immediately got healed. You know, I had one couple who had been trying for several years to have a baby, and there was this, you know, kind of new Christian, and she just got a word of knowledge. She had no idea. They were in a group together, and she had no idea. She just said, I don't know, I see a baby, and obviously you guys don't have a baby, but, and they looked at her and said, well, we've been praying for one. I said, okay, let me just pray for you. And bam, she was pregnant within 6 weeks, and had been trying for years, but a word of knowledge immediately. And so, and many other, I mean, I could go on and on and on. So there, it began like a stream of healings in our church. And then in, I can't remember, 2015, 2016, somewhere in there, I went to Brazil, and Pastor Matt Tapley and I went together, pastor back in Ontario, he's part of the MFI leadership team now, and we went down to Brazil, and we went into churches where there were thousands of people, and we were part of a healing team, and we saw thousands of amazing miracles. We were just there as part of a team. There was another ministry leading it, but we'd heard that what God was doing in Brazil, so we went down there, and it was just mind-boggling stuff. I mean, Brazil was in a revival. I think they still are. But just the level of what God was doing in that country was certainly, I had never seen anything like it. And so when we came back, you know, we had them pray for us and the leaders of this ministry, and then we went back to our church, and I just walked into a prayer meeting, and I just kind of brought it to an abrupt halt, and I got all our leaders and staff, and I just laid hands on them. And many of them felt sensations, either in their hands or in their body or wherever. And from that point on, the trickle became a flow. And we began to get healings. So we would, you know, they had already understood how to get words of knowledge, but now they were getting them every Sunday. And we were praying for people at the front, calling out words of knowledge, and people were getting healed. We still do that at the end of every service. And just 2 weeks ago, you know, I had arthritis setting into my finger. I noticed back, I think, you know, late June or early July, I just woke up and I had just a constant pain. And it wasn't throbbing, but it was like just a constant pain. And also, I found I couldn't, the knuckle felt swollen and kind of red. And I thought, you know, I don't know what that is, but over time I began to realize this is like an arthritic pain. And it stayed with me all through the summer, all through September, October. And 2 weeks ago, there was a word of knowledge for arthritis. Well, I think that's what this is. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I received that word. And it's just that simple. I received that. The Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge is an announcement that the Holy Spirit's saying, this is what I'm healing today. So if you have it, and many times applies to multiple people, and so Monday it felt a little better, and then I kind of forgot about it, and Thursday morning I woke up and I noticed that it was completely gone. This is 2 weeks ago, and the tension, the tightness was completely gone. Now, that same morning, there was a word of knowledge for a right ear, just said, you know, right ear problems. Some of them sound very generic and general. And there was a woman who is, well, I told you about her last night. You know, she was this woman who came to me last winter and said, you know, I've been in this church 3 weeks, and it's like, I feel like I've grown. And her husband got saved after he started watching us on our live stream. Well, I didn't know this, but I was talking to her after the service, and she said, you know, that word of knowledge thing? I said, yeah. She goes, I've had 3 surgeries on my right ear. I said, wow. I said, so is it better? She goes, no. So I had 3 surgeries, and they never get it right. It's almost worse than it ever was. I said, well, there was a word of knowledge, so let's pray. So it was very simple. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this word. We receive it, we believe it, and just put my hand there, Jesus, just heal that. And she came back, she was away 1 week in between, came back last Sunday, and she right at the front door, and she said to me, you won't believe it. And I said, what? My ear is better than it's ever been since I've had those surgeries. She goes, it's not 100%, but it's way better than it's ever been. in years and years and years. Well, you know, I could tell you more and more and more, but the point is that, you know, healing is a great gift. The scripture tells us to covet the best gifts. And you know, the truth is that almost everybody on the planet has something wrong with them. You know what I mean? It's like, there's something wrong with everybody. And when there's healing in the house, and there's a release of healing in the house, there's something about that, that even, you know, people who are new, and one time we had this couple come in from a Lutheran background, and I mean, they were right straight out of the Lutheran church, and the first Sunday they were there, I was just, you know, just talking to them, and I found out that they had just left the Lutheran church because of same-sex stuff. And they said, you know, they've just announced that, you know, they're going to accept this, and we just said, we're done. So we're church shopping. We're just admittedly church shopping. And I didn't say a word to them, but I thought, wow, that's a big jump from Lutheran to our church. So I just thought, well, God bless you. And I thought, I'll never see them again. In fact, I'm kind of anticipating they're going to get up and walk out halfway through the service. But they didn't. And they stuck around. They went through our partnership process and a lot of different things. But after a year in the church, I'm hanging out with them one day, and the brother says to me, yeah, you know that worst knowledge stuff you guys do? And I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you. He said, a year ago, he said, I got to the point where I was only sleeping 3 hours a night. I had such intense pain in my shoulder. I can't remember if it was left or right, but it was, you know. And he worked in a mill, so he was lifting a lot, and he was doing a lot of physical work. And he said, the doctor said I'd have to have huge surgery, and I'd be off work for like maybe a year. And I just thought, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to, you know, do what I can to manage the pain and continue to work. Well, apparently I was giving the word of knowledge that day, and like I said, I identified a right or left shoulder, whatever it was, and he was too shy. He said, we were brand new in your church, and I wasn't used to putting my hand up for anything in the Lutheran church, so I didn't put my hand up. I just said, Lord, that would be really nice if I could have that. And he said, same thing, after about 3 days, he noticed every night less pain and sleeping more, until finally, after 3 days, three nights, it was gone. And he said, for a year, I have been completely, totally pain-free. I'm saying, you took a year to tell me that? Like, you know, there's this thing called giving testimonies so that, you know, it builds people's faith and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, anyway, these are just some stories that come to my mind, but, oh, come on. Wrong password. I thought this was my computer. I'm changing this password, that's it. I can't even remember where I was now. Okay, be quiet, will you? I was only joking. Okay, I'm good. So, let me. What time do we want to break at, Pastor Lynn? You're not in charge, okay. Who is in charge? 35, that's perfect. Okay, so I was just sharing some of my personal testimony just to frame this in. But you know, one study conducted on healing through prayer demonstrated that what people believed about healing factored into whether or not they got healed. So if you don't really believe that God heals, which I don't think likely there'd be anybody in this church that would believe that, but if you believe, you know, if you have faith, if you believe that God does heal and also that he wants to heal you, then there's far more greater chance that you're going to see healing, and if you need it, you can get it. Simply put, if our theology results in believing that God is the great I am, then we're more likely to get healed. But if our theology tells us that he was God is the great I was. You know, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. Then obviously healing is not going to flow in those circles. And sometimes people who are cessationists, you know, part of their defense is, well, I've never seen any of that happen. Well, of course you don't, because your theology is all wrong. You know, it's what you believe. According to your faith, be it unto you, right? So, I know for many years in the church that I came out of and the pastors that I had, and they had seen great revival in Africa, and I'm talking about the real deal. The pastors that I first came under back in the mid-70s had been missionaries in East Africa, and Idi Amin personally expelled them out of Uganda, and they were the first full gospel missionaries in Uganda. There had never been anyone there. The Anglicans were there, the Baptists were there, the Catholics were there, but nobody who preached what we call the full gospel, the full message, the full meal deal. And they were the first ones in, and God gave them a massive, massive revival. In 2006, I was back for the 50th anniversary of the work. Pastors, thousands of pastors came from all over Uganda and East Africa and honored my pastor. I mean, it was amazing to see. And they said he brought what they called the gospel of power. That's what they called it. And for years, I mean, we had seen pictures of all this. But their practice was to pray for the sick. So they just prayed for the sick. You know, if you're sick, they just, you know, pray for you. But they never moved beyond into like specific words of knowledge to believe God that people were going to get healed. Some people got healed. I remember my pastor prayed for me one time, I got healed. But many times it was just kind of hit and miss, and I tended to kind of take that same approach for many years. Well, we pray for the sick. And if God heals them, he heals them. If he doesn't heal them, well, you know, don't look at me. And for many years, as I traveled, there was two questions that I would ask the Lord, and I still do today. Lord, show me who you're speaking to, and Lord, show me who or what you're healing. So sometimes I would look at people, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, I want to heal that person, and I wouldn't know what the condition was. I'd just say, you know, I feel like you have an infirmity. Is that true? And people, yeah, okay, I want to pray for you. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit would give me the word of knowledge, the specific condition, but I didn't know who it was. And so I would just say, someone here is suffering from this, and maybe a hand would go up, and I would just say, right where you are right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And we would see God do amazing things. But I think what happens sooner or later is if we're really going to see healing happen, we have to have a delivery system. And so what I just shared with you is that we developed a delivery system in our church, and we began to believe that God wanted to heal and that words of knowledge were an announcement of the Holy Spirit that I am healing this today. Does that make sense? And, you know, sometimes people can believe, they have a doctrinal position that we believe in healing. Well, that's great, but do you know how to follow the Spirit in doing what God wants to do and to take the faith to risk it? Because every time you announce that God's going to heal this or there's a word of knowledge for this, you're kind of stepping out, right? And you have to believe that you're going to take some risk. You know, doctrine can be a convenient and complacent hiding place. You can hide behind that doctrine. Well, we believe in healing, but you never do anything about it. I was in a church one time, just, I think it was 2015. I was in a very large church. My wife and I were on vacation, and we always go to check out churches when we're on vacation. We're usually down Florida, or this time we were on the West Coast. And went into this large church, and Sunday night service, they started giving words of knowledge, and they were counting. They were counting how many people were getting healed. And there were 63 healings in that service. And one, quite dramatic, a guy came in hobbling, and they had a word of knowledge for an ankle. And like I said, there's hundreds of people, so it's not like they would see it. And they had a word of knowledge for, you know, someone who had an ankle injury. And this guy put his hand up, and they said, well, can you come up? And he got up, he started hobbling up. And they just prayed for him, and they said, well, how is it now? And he just, you know, wow. And he started jumping up and down and walking. And, you know, in Brazil, we saw a guy that was a word of knowledge for a heel injury. And this young buck came up. He was maybe just in his mid-20s. And he said, yeah, I completely shattered my Achilles heel and all the bones. And I had surgery, and they reconstructed everything. And you gave a word of knowledge. This is all being interpreted. You gave a word of knowledge, and I felt the power of God hit my leg, and it's all better. I mean, and they said, well, what can you do? Now, they didn't ask him to do this, and we were on a platform about 6 to 8 feet high, and he goes, what can I do? And he just ran, he did a flip off the stage and landed on his feet. Everybody's like, and even, you know, the guy interviewing, he's like, we didn't ask you to do that, but he was quite confident that he was healed. So, you know, it's that thing of expecting. Faith and expectation for healing is the attitude that this is the day it is going to happen. Does that make sense? And so cultivating expectation really shouldn't be difficult in our type of churches, because we certainly cultivate it for prophecy. We're really good at believing that God is going to speak and moving into the prophetic. Am I right about that? Well, words of knowledge for healing isn't really any different. It's still a revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's just that you're getting a little more pinpointed, and then you're believing in faith that you can minister that. So, you know, praying in faith is not about prying open the hands of God, but it's realizing that God's hand is already open. Amen. That his hands are open. He wants to give. He wants to minister. He wants to release. And so, when it comes to healing, about 50% of the New Testament encounters, people demonstrated faith. In other words, it was their faith. Jesus acknowledged. But 50% of the time, they didn't demonstrate any faith. But the Lord healed them. So we need to understand that there are times when the work of the Spirit is stronger for healing, and at times when it's stronger for, you know, things like salvation or prophecy or preaching, declaration. And that's what the Spirit wants to do in that service. Sometimes it's just about preaching the word and letting that settle into the congregation. Other times it's about prophetic word. And so it's really important. I noticed in Luke 5 where it's an interesting scripture where Luke says that now it happened on a certain day that he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judah, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, why would Luke say that? I mean, Jesus was standing there. But he said the power of the Lord was present to heal, which kind of tells me a little bit that Jesus did not operate so much out of his divinity. He was divine. I'm not saying he wasn't, but I'm saying, like Philippians 2, he laid aside his divinity and humbled himself, take on human flesh, and he operated allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him and allowing Father to show him what to do. And there was times where Luke noticed, or not Luke, but whoever was there, Luke recorded later, that the power of the Lord was present to heal. And so Jesus began to move into healing. Now, words of knowledge, I think one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of a word of knowledge is found in John chapter 4, where Jesus encounters the woman at the well. And you know the story, so I'm not going to go through it all, but he came to a city of Samaria, which by the way, the disciples normally would have walked around Samaria. Most Jews, you know, there was this racial issue, and they despised Samaritans. And that's in the passage. You can see it. But Jesus said, no, we're going through Samaria. And as he was at the well of Sychar, which was the well that Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, had dug, he meets this woman. And he begins the encounter with her. And of course, the woman, you know, says, you know, are you greater than our father Jacob who built this well? And Jesus just said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. So she says, well, how can I get this water? How are you going to get the water? Because you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus said, well, look, why don't you go call your husband? Now, this was the hook. Okay, he knew where he was going with this, right? He's setting it up. Why don't you call your husband? And she said, I would, but my cell phone isn't working right now. No. And the woman answered, I have no husband. And I imagine in my mind that Jesus kind of looked at her, smiled, and said, well, you've rightly said that. You have no husband because you've had five husbands. And the guy you're with now isn't your husband. Well, that was one word of knowledge. One word of knowledge. She went back to town. She told the men of the city. They came out. They heard Jesus. Jesus spent 2 days there. And after 2 days of ministry, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, doing the work of the kingdom, the men of that city said, well, you know, we believe because you told us, but now we believe because we believe, you know, we've seen for ourselves. It's almost like no woman is going to tell us. You know, a little bit of, yeah. Male chauvinism there, but I'm trying to get you to see the power of one word of knowledge. What can happen through one word of knowledge? And so, let me give you a definition. A word of knowledge is an operation of the Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge is an operation of the Holy Spirit releasing revelatory information about a specific fact regarding a person in one of six areas. I'm going to give you those six areas. Let me just read that again. A word of knowledge is an operation of the Holy Spirit releasing revelatory information about a specific fact regarding a person in one of six areas. Health. So obviously words of knowledge for healing are going to be words of knowledge for health. Vocation. You could have a word of knowledge about someone's vocation. Finances might uncover a financial need or the fact that they are, you know, in a situation financially that is really great. Family, word of knowledge about family. There's something going on in a family, word of knowledge. Word of knowledge for ministry, that this is not a prophecy. This is like you're involved in this area and God is using you in this area or you have this ministry. And then personal history. Remember, words of knowledge are a fact. So your history goes right back to your childhood. Sometimes words of knowledge come and people are not thinking back. So there's someone here that this has happened to and people are not, you know, going back through the history to say, yeah, I've been in little circles kind of doing words of knowledge with people, and some people give a word of knowledge and say, well, I had this word of knowledge, but nobody's responded. And so I say to the people, stop and think about it. It's not just right now. Maybe that doesn't apply to your now, but 10 years ago, 15 years, 20 years ago, you know, whatever. Do you remember that? And they go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I did have a red bicycle with all multicolor streamers, and I did fall off it and hurt myself. It just didn't apply to me now. But that did happen to me as a kid. Okay, it's a word of knowledge. Get it? And you say, well, what would be the point of that? The point of that is God showing that he knows all about you. That's what it is. And so, just as we see the word of knowledge with the Samaritan woman's life, had to do with her family arrangements and personal history, but led to an open door of ministry to her and to her community. Obviously, words of knowledge do not pertain only to healing, but what we're going to talk about today is words of knowledge for healing. So why words of knowledge? Experience has shown that more people are healed through words of knowledge than for simply praying and laying hands on them, unless the one exception would be if you have a gift of healing. So if you have a gift of healing, if you know that healing is something that happens through your life, probably praying for a person and laying hands on them, you will see them healed, because that is a gift that operates in you. But for most of us who don't have a gift of healing, words of knowledge are a tremendous way to release, and more people are healed through words of knowledge. And we've seen this in our church. The uptick of people getting healed through words of knowledge is enormous compared to what we had before we began to move in words of knowledge. So operating in words of knowledge reveal what the Holy Spirit wants to do. This is what I'm healing today. So we have, I can't remember exactly how many people that do this every week, but there's one person. What they do is they get a, during either pre-service prayer or even, you know, the day before, they could be waiting on God in prayer and just saying, Lord, what do you want to heal tomorrow? And the Lord will drop words into their heart. And on Sunday, they will text it all to one person. So there's kind of one quarterback. She gets the list. She writes it out. She hands it to me at the end of the service. And I just read, okay, God is healing these words of knowledge, or God is healing these situations today. And most of our church know now. In the beginning, we put up a little explanation of what a word of knowledge was. But now, you know, it's kind of established, and we just read out the words of knowledge. And in the COVID situation now, we just say, you can stay sitting, just put up your hand if this applies to you. Every Sunday, both services, there are people putting up their hand, saying, yeah, you know, I need this, I need that. And we just say, if you're in their social circle, just put your hand on them. And let's believe. Let's believe in faith that God is going to heal. And so, as I said, even in the last 2 weeks, we've had some dramatic things happen. But the word of knowledge releases faith in the person to receive, because they're specific to their condition. It's like, yeah, I've got this problem. Like, you know, I could have gone to somebody and said, oh, you know, my finger's been paining me for several months and it's swollen. I can't seem to close the knuckle. And could you pray for me? And they could pray and maybe I would get healed. But when a word of knowledge comes, it's just so much more accurate. I remember I was, you know, I work out from time to time, just try to stay in a little, you know, shape. Round is the shape. So, but back, you know, 10 years ago, I was going to the gym quite a bit, and I had injured my knee or leg. I can't even remember. All I remember is I couldn't put my to bend my leg to put socks on. It was really painful in the morning, and walking down stairways were really bad. So I was going down, something about extending it. And I went to a meeting in a city about an hour away from us. There was an evangelist from America who was there that I knew of. Never met him, but a friend of mine was hosting it, and it was really for a pastor's gathering. So somehow, I guess the pastor told him that my son was in New York City with Hillsong, and so he was interested in meeting me, and we got talking a bit. But I wasn't limping or anything. It was only hurting if I went like that, you know, if I went down or if I bent it. So walking was fine. So there was no visible sign. So he preached, great word. I was sitting in the front row, and he began to move out in words of knowledge. I mean, these words of knowledge were so accurate, it was scary. He came over to me and he said, John, I see that you have an injury in your right leg, and you did it at the gym. I'm going, yep. And he said, you have problems, you know, doing this or doing that. And I'm going like, wow, this was so accurate, it was scary. And he said, well, Lord's healing that right now. Bam. And he just walked next person. You've had heart surgery, and it's been problematic again, and you've been seeing a doctor. And the guy, yeah. And, I mean, this guy's words of knowledge were so, so, so accurate. It was scary. And the thing is, you don't have to get that accurate. None of my people are that accurate, but people get healed all the time. You can be very general, and people get healed. But this guy just had that incredible accuracy. Well, I noticed 24 hours later, that was gone. The interesting thing is 2 weeks later, our offices in our church are up on the second floor. And I was coming down. We have a stairway behind the platform, and you can come out into the sanctuary. And so I was coming down the stairway about 2 weeks later, and that pain hit me. And immediately I said, no, I am healed, and I'm staying healed in Jesus' name. It flashed on, and it flashed off, and never came back. And so sometimes, you know, you've got to, you know, some people say, well, I got healed for a while, but then it came back. Well, why did you allow it to come back? You had a word of knowledge to stand on. You had an announcement from the Holy Spirit, I'm healing you. Hello? And so sometimes we have to do a little bit of warfare to maintain it. But I find that in words of knowledge, one of two things happens. Either people get healed immediately or 2 to 3 days, almost without exception, either immediately or 2 to 3 days. And so sometimes when we're, you know, before COVID and we're praying for people, we say to them, well, what couldn't you do? Is this if it's a liver condition, you can't say, well, I couldn't do this, you know. But if it's something like an arm or leg or a shoulder or foot or back, you know, they know things they couldn't do. And we get them. Say, so we'll try it. I was in, do you know Frank Stasius? Okay, from Oshawa. Great, great church in Oshawa. Frank is a Brazilian, and all Brazilians have great churches. I don't know why that is, but he has a great church. And Danny Bonilla, who just recently passed away from COVID-19, or complications thereof, was there, him and his wife. Danny was part of the Apostolic Leadership Team of America in MFI for years and years and years. Great, great man of God, great prophet, great teacher, great just powerhouse, touched the nations. And he was in Oshawa, and so I went over. They were doing a seminar, and as Danny was ministering, we were just in the second session, we were just in a time of worship, and I got a word of knowledge. So strangely enough, this is how sensitive Giselle handed me the mic. Just, she didn't know anything. She just felt like, give John the mic. Because I asked her, why did you do that? She said, I don't know. I just felt like God had something through you. So she walked over. She said, here. And I was worshiping, and I grabbed the mic, and I said, well, yeah, I got a word of knowledge. So someone here has a right elbow injury, and God's going to heal you today. I gave the mic back. So I go back, and music starts up again. I start worshiping, and then I feel this. And I look, and there's these two girls standing there. And one girl has obviously kind of got her arm around the other girl. And I found out later, this girl was like 2 weeks saved. And she says, well, my friend, she's got a bad elbow problem. And I said, okay, what's going on? She goes, it's really paining. I've had it for several weeks. Can't open my arm, can't get it up. So, okay, let's pray. So very simple. Worship was going on. Took her hand. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this word of knowledge. We just release healing. Holy Spirit, come right now. Touch that. Okay, what couldn't you do? Oh, I can't lift it. I said, well, try. And she goes. And she just starts crying. I mean, it was gone, right there, bang. Well, the following week, Jan and I went to Florida. Frank's wife calls me in Florida and says, hey, you got to hear this. I said, you remember that girl that was healed, Danielle? Well, at the same time, when you got that word of knowledge, we have a friend here from Brazil, and he was snowboarding, and he wiped out, he tore his ACL and cracked the bone. And they had the elbow. He cracked the bone and tore, you know, everything in there. And the doctor at the Emerge near the place we were skiing just said, you're going to have to go see a surgeon. The x-ray shows it's cracked and you've torn some stuff in there. And And so we'll you know, forward those pictures to your doctor. But so what they did was they just said, hey, he's not here today. Let's pray in faith, in proxy for him, that he will be healed. And so she was for me. She said, he went to the doctors today, and they took the thing off that, and they did another x-ray, and they said, this doesn't make sense. This can't be you, because this shows an x-ray. They must have got it confused. This has a crack in it. This has a tear in it, and now there's nothing there. And he went, wow, you're right. It's perfect. And she said, you know, that was definitely him. They didn't mess anything up. There was nobody in the emergency except for him. And it was paining, and it was bad, and it was all swollen and everything. So God healed that. And then this is 2 years later, I was in that church again preaching, and a woman came to me and said, you remember here 2 years ago you were here? And you gave a word of knowledge that night for an elbow? And I said, yeah. She goes, I was in the children's ministry, but I heard it over the speaker. And I just said, yes, yes, Lord, I received that. And she got healed. And I just thought, man, this is a domino. Bam, 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 bam. So I guess I'm just trying to share with you that how powerful words of knowledge can be when, you know, we're moving in them. So words of knowledge give the people ministering more confidence that the Holy Spirit has initiated the healing. And I'm just going to end with this, and then I'm going to have a stand. We're going to get some words of knowledge this morning. Varieties of words of knowledge. There's no one method or manner in which the Holy Spirit releases words of knowledge. So right from the beginning, we need to be open and understand that there's different ways that we can receive them. Number one would be a mental impression. So it's a very light impression. Many times on Sunday morning when I'm in worship, I just once I get kind of, you know, in His face and into the presence of the Lord, I say, Lord, what are you healing today? And I get a very, very light impression. It's like a gentle whisper that if you're not looking for it, you would ignore it. And if you're not moving in faith, you would ignore it. But some of the greatest words of knowledge that I've gotten have just been very light impressions. And I think that's part of the problem, is some people think like the Holy Spirit's yelling in your ear, and it ain't ever going to happen. And so you have to listen to that delicate whispering voice and say, I believe that's God. And I'm gonna take the risk of releasing it. A mental picture. Sometimes people get pictures of a body part, an organ, a physical symptom. They get that mental, again, it's a mental picture. You see something. You see a foot, you see a heart, you see a back, you see whatever. Some people get sympathetic pain. Now, you gotta be really careful with this, because as you get older, things start hurting anyway. But sympathetic pain, how many know what I'm talking about? That you don't have that condition, but all of a sudden you're in a worship service and something starts pulsing, you know, in here, or you get a throbbing pain here, or you get a shoulder, or you know, a sudden headache, or something comes on you immediately, and it's a sympathetic pain. It's literally the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I'm healing. And there's one guy who has an international ministry who almost, that's all he gets. And people get healed like crazy under his ministry. But he gets a pain. And that's who he knows, okay, thank you, Lord. Give me some more pain. I don't know what happens when his whole body's hurting. You know. God's healing everything today. Number four, some people actually get, and this is probably pretty rare, start at the top, which is really common. Number four would be a date or a medical chart. You see a medical chart with something written on it, that would be, I've never seen anything like that, or a date. A date would be like, on this date, something happened to you. Are you here? You know, bam. And people look back, think, yeah, you know. And then lastly, a dream. You know, you can get a dream of someone who's had an injury or a situation. Those the last two are probably very, or the least common, but they can happen. So these are not theologically based, but they're more sociologically based on surveys of and studies of movements that move in healing and have seen how God works. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We know that, right? We're all okay with that, that there's different gifts. There are differences of ministries or serve, the way we serve, that when it says ministries, it's diakonia, which is like the word deacon. There's different ways of serving in those gifts, but the same Lord. And there are, and this is the key word, differences of activities. We talked about this last night, that's the word energema. It means workings. There are diversities of workings. God doesn't work the same way through everybody. So we have to be open to how God works through us. All right. I want you to stand up with me. And we're just going to do something quickly here that is not going to take a long time, but it's going to be a good time. How many of you have faith today? Yes. How many of you believe that God wants to work through you? How many know that I'm not a superstar? that I'm not a hero, that I'm just an ordinary Christian that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and was encouraged to go after these things and believe God to work and move. And so, you know, over the years, we've seen some great, wonderful, dramatic things happen that God has done in the saints, but it's not because I'm a superstar. It's not because I'm unusual. This should be usual. Churches should just be a usual place that, yeah, I go to this church where people get healed every week. Really? Yeah. Yep. You should come. Jesus is in the house. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Well, how do people hear about it? Because people walk out and say, well, I went to this church and, you know, my shoulder, I couldn't work and I couldn't sleep at night and blah, blah, blah. And God healed me. Wow. That'll let people know something. It's not happening in every church, right? So, this is what I want to do. I want to pray in tongues out loud for about 30 seconds or 45 seconds or so. And, you know, Paul talked to Timothy about stirring up the gift. And I always try to tell people, it's like, you know, if you go into your pantry and you reach in and you grab some salad dressing, what has happened over time? Separated, right? You got all the good stuff in the bottom and just oil at the top. So what do? You shake it up. Just get that thing going and shake it up so that it's all mixed up. Well, praying in the Spirit is like stirring up the gift of God. We're edifying ourselves and bringing ourselves into that place where there's Holy Spirit connection. Worship is also a wonderful time where we get in the presence of God and we're focused on Him and the Spirit of the Lord is, you know, just flowing through us. And at that moment, I tell people to check their email. You know, there's a little email box in your heart. And you need to see if there's a message there. You need to stop and check and say, you know, kind of center in and say, Lord, what's going on in here? What are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you saying today? Who are you speaking to? What are you healing? You ask those questions in every service. You'll find that the Holy Spirit will respond in a possibly very light impression or a whisper or a picture, a mental picture. And if you just take the risk and move out on it, sometimes I see people's faces, and I don't know what the situation is. I just say, hey, I need to pray for you. And as you pray, God does something. Amen?